had a next-door neighbor who was an executive of a brewery. And when I would usually see him, it would be over the backyard fence, and I would greet him and say hi, and he would speak to me, "Hey, what's going on, man?" Something like that. And he was usually dressed in the summer in a pair of shorts and in a T-shirt, and a very easy person to connect with, to enjoy. And over the time we started to talk and he found out the kind of work that I did, he said, "You know, I think our brewery could use this kind of training. How about coming down to my office and we'll talk further about you doing some training?" I went down to his office. It was a large office because he had a high position. And rather quickly when I went into his office, it was as though he was a different person. Instead of greeting me in the way he usually did, he was very formal, and I really had trouble imagining this was the same person I had known for about a year. He looked different. He talked different. It was a whole different person. So institutions can have this effect on us. If we don't watch out when we are in these institutions and we have these titles, if we don't watch out, we give the institution the power to turn us into something other than what we are as a human being. We become the label. There's research showing the scary consequences that can happen when we give away our power to our titles and our institutions within which we work. Very scary things can happen. For example, Stanley Milgram did some research. He had people come into this research, and they were told that in this research they were going to play the role of teachers, in the sense that someone in another room that they could see through a one-way vision room, they were told, is going to be a student learning something. And whenever they give a wrong answer to this, you are to be the teacher in this room, and you will give him a punishment by pushing one of these 10 buttons on the control panel in front of you. Each button will give him a certain degree of electricity, a shock, as punishment when he gets the wrong answer. You are to push the next button each time he makes a mistake, and that will give him a greater shock each time. We're studying the effects of punishment on learning, so that's why we're asking you to do this. Now, what the participants in this research were not told is that the man in the other room wasn't getting any electricity. He was an actor. They were also told he was locked into the chair and couldn't get out. So the person in the other room, in answer to a question, makes a mistake, and they push button one, and the person in the other room, the actor, jumps and says, "Ouch, that hurt. I didn't know this was going to hurt so much." Then another question came, and then he gave another wrong answer, and then the people who were participants in the research pushed the next button. By the third or fourth button, the man in the other room was crying. Later, he was begging, "Please don't push anymore. This hurts so terribly." The last button was underneath it, clearly marked possibly lethal. And still more than half of the people in the research pushed this button. Milgram's research showed that when people are in this role of teacher and they see themselves as told within this institution called a university that this is their job to push the button, even though some of the people were crying, they felt so terrible about what they were doing, they continued to do it because in this research experiment they had the label teacher, and the institution told them to give punishment to people who made mistakes. How scary. And there's other research that shows that college students brought into a situation where they are told they are prison guards, and other students are in the role of prisoners in their rooms, locked in rooms. These university students behaved in a quite brutal way toward these other people when they saw themselves as guards within a prison setting and told they were to keep order. So if we don't watch out, we give away our power to institutions to make monsters out of us. And that can be scary because very often the institutions that we might be within might not be set up to maintain the kind of values that we hold within ourselves. As Walter Wink, the Christian theologian, says in some of his writings, it's very important to be conscious that institutions have their own spirituality. And tragically, very often, the spirituality of the institutions that are guiding us, the corporate institutions, the government institutions, the school institutions, are not institutions that have values that I believe we want to support. So it's extremely important that we learn how, even when we are in these contexts, not to give away our power to authority. That no matter how people might make demands of us when they are in positions of authority, we hear it as a request and never as a demand. We don't give our power away to the authority to tell us what we are. We hear their humanness behind their message, even though this can be quite a challenge when they are speaking a language of domination and when they are in an institution that supports authorities dominating and controlling rather than relating in an empathic way with the people that are labeled their inferiors.